Today we are 100% going to the gas station. 200% going to the gas station. How do I feel about the children being on? I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if your message got cut off or if you're just like asking about on children. No, these children are on. On the Facebook? I mean, you know, whatever. You know, it's you'd like to think that parents are, you know, acting in a supervisory way in those sorts of situations. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you gotta... You can't shelter kids forever from the harsh realities of existence. You just gotta be there as like a guiding hand to say like, hey, I mean, like, yeah, shooting heroin probably feels pretty good, but here's a good reason why you shouldn't do that. And let's talk about it. Like that, right? I mean, you know, if you're trying to have, like, you know, trying to keep them locked up and keep them away from everything and hiding the very existence of some of the bad parts of reality from them, then, you know, it's like at some point they're going to rebel and naturally seek that stuff out, and they'll be ill-equipped to deal with it. So I think if you, you know, if you just are kind of open about like, hey, here's how fucking works, and here's what it's for, and here's what people actually use it for, and I hope you're smart about it. Turn this chair around, sit on it. Turn my hat around, let's talk, let's get real. But, you know, like, I never really got interested in taking drugs on my own, doing the drugs. But I grew up in an environment where I could ask any question I wanted about them and get an answer that, in many cases, came from firsthand experience. You know, my dad got arrested doing seat stands on a motorcycle through, like, downtown San Anselmo around here. Just got up to some stuff. So, you know, and I grew up in, like, the fucking heart of the fucking Nancy Reagan shit. Which all seemed super stupid. But, you know, coupled with actual more realistic information about that stuff, it was enough to be like, okay, well, you know, like, I was curious about this stuff, and now I know a thing or two about it, and, like, why it seems, like, kind of bad, or why I might want to stay away from it. So I'm just going to do that. Like, hey, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm going to not get into that, because it sounds like it goes bad at some point. I mean, for me, the scarier stuff is, like, the abuse of prescription medication at this point. Like, that's the actual fucking epidemic that... Actually, the real epidemic is, why are there so many fucking people at this gas station? I just need to get through here. I need to buy stuff. I need to buy drugs. Just my legal, over-the-counter liquid drugs. My chems. I need my stims. Oh, the Supergiant stuff. So is there, yeah, is there a trailer for that? I hope there's a trailer for that. Because I've been trying to describe it to people after checking it out last week, and it's hard to describe, or I'm doing a bad job of describing it to people. But the trailer probably makes it make a lot more sense than I'm like, well, it's kind of, there's like a sports, but it's not, I mean, it's, don't, it's not sports, but there's a competitive, all right, look. That game seems really cool. And it's, like, now that they're kind of three games in, or, you know, two games in and a third game on the way, like, you felt it with Transistor, but, like, with Pyre, you kind of, like, they've got a style, they've got a tone, they've got a you know, like, the music, the art, like, all of it kind of comes together in a way that, like, I don't know that you get out of a ton of other studios, a ton of other developers, right? I mean, there are signature styles and stuff like that certainly out there. I mean, you know, Flambeer is known for its screen shake, for example. But they've managed to find a way to make their games feel cohesive, like they belong together, without necessarily making them, like, the exact same thing over and over again. And I think that's pretty cool. Oh, they announced with Sony, huh? Oh, okay. All right. I did not know that. But that makes sense. Kind of looks like Bill Laimbeer's combat basketball. I mean, you know, I mentioned ice hockey for the NES because you've got a, you know, at least in the demo that they're showing at PAX, your three-man party, your three-person party, your three-being party, I guess, person, they ain't all human. There's a big one that moves slow, there's a tiny one that moves fast, and then the kind of a medium speed. But it seems like you'll kind of, as you go through the story, you may meet additional characters and have some choices to make with kind of who you bring into the ritual, who you bring into the rites. Yeah. Is 2 days from now. I need to pack. I'm going to PAX, huh? I have to do that. Ooh. About there's a story on Wired about Magic Leap that I don't know. I was gonna say everyone should go check it out, but the story itself doesn't necessarily get too far into what Magic Leap is. And it's a lot more about kind of just VR and AR and mixed reality and all that sort of stuff. And it's worth looking into Magic Leap. Not leap motion. Magic Leap is a different thing. There's a video that they put out a while ago that shows someone picking up a prop gun and then having, it's not entirely unlike that space pirate trainer for the Vive, but because it's, you know, because the glasses, because whatever the device is clear, you know, it's popping out of, you know, robots popping out of your desk and all that other shit, and you shooting them. And it looks kind of awesome. And then over the past few years here, two years at least, maybe more, I've been encountering people that have seen it, that have used it, that have tried it. And it sounds like Magic Leap is actually the thing that you want, the future thing that is crazy and crazy. The thing that the HoloLens aspires to be in a way, you know, and but I guess we don't know enough about form factor or is this thing going to be tethered to a thing or is it on its own or, you know, but they've raised a fucking zillion dollars in funding and like I said, any of the few people I've talked to that have tried that thing, even people that were, like, you know, pretty well-versed in VR and kind of up on all that stuff, were like, no, man, you need to fucking see this shit. This shit is the shit that we keep talking about. This is the, when they talk about how the future will go, this is the fucking thing that is gonna, like, set us in that direction. And they've just been quietly fucking doing their thing in Florida for a while now, and I don't know if they're getting ready to show more or talk more. Like, this Wired story, you know, has some stuff in it that I hadn't seen before. The video that they have there has some stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It all sounds very exciting, but I haven't tried it for myself, so I don't know what to make of it. But other than that, the video looks awesome, and if it works that well and works exactly like that, which it absolutely does, and that the quality of the image is kind of beyond what we are getting out of current, like, VR screens and resolutions there and stuff, that you know, this is the, when it becomes a very big deal in a ton of different ways, in like, you know, detective vision ways of giving you a real life HUD for your life, in addition to doing games and doing a bunch of other weird shit. And the Wired story is pretty good at kind of conveying some of the challenges on the road to get there, around, or how vital phones and screen technology developed for phones has become to this part of the process, and how now that there's this other use for them and all this other stuff, like, that will start to accelerate, like, the quality of screens and weight of screens and color depth and image quality and all that stuff, like, how that will start to advance. And it's pretty exciting stuff. And yeah, I guess it sounds like Digital Foundry and maybe some other people got a look at some of the same documentation that we've seen for the Neo stuff. So that stuff's continuing to spread. I don't know, man, video games. All I know is that the Oculus Rift plays Virtual Boy games pretty well. You're right about the Neo probably not being out until after Final Fantasy hits, but at the same time, games that hit in late September will have to have a day one patch that adds Neo support, and games shipping in October will have to have Neo support out of the box. So, like, it seems like pretty much a done deal that Final Fantasy XV will have to do something with that additional hardware, but it sounds like what, like, Sony's mandates for what developers actually do are pretty minimal. So, I don't know. It's hard to really know what form that stuff will take, but it's, but yeah, like, games that are hitting in late September will have day one patches that add Neo stuff, so that's... Personally, I can't wait to join the PlayStation 4 Ambassadors program. I understand I'll get a sweet certificate that I can look at any time, which is pretty cool. And, you know, some virtual console games that they'll never go on to sell in any other form for whatever reason. It'll be a good time. That's not a police officer at all. You're just a man on a motorcycle. Bike with headlights on, kind of coming up fast from the back. Start to think like, oh, that might be a cop bike. I should probably stop speeding and maybe get out of this lane. I like that the 3DS system transfer maintained my ambassador certificate, that I was able to move that across hardware. Shocked if the current PS4 drops to 300, considering the desperate ad for the Xbox One. I don't know. I think price drop stuff is touchy. Well, I mean, also, if Sony is still selling plenty of PlayStation 4s, which it sounds like they are, they don't really have a good reason to cut price. Also, with upgraded hardware coming. You know, they have a lot of stuff around that. Like, they really should just step out ahead of E3 and probably confirm this stuff they're doing, because by not commenting on any of this stuff, at some point they leave it open to interpretation, and when they do that, I think a lot of the audience tends to go to the most negative version imaginable. Because you look at that stuff and you're like, oh, well, you know, clearly they're going to screw over existing PlayStation 4 owners. It's like, you read through the stuff that I've read through, and you go like, well, it doesn't look like they're screwing over existing PlayStation 4 owners. Like, there's a path through this that makes some kind of sense. They seem very careful to, you know, they're not allowing people to make games different on the upgraded hardware. It'll, you know, it'll get a performance boost, but really that's it. It's not like, oh, well, here's a mode you're completely locked out of unless you have the new thing. Or, hey, you can only do VR if you've got the new thing. Like, they're very deliberately saying, no, you cannot develop games that way. That is the actual point there is, but for how long? And the answer to that is, I think, for however long it takes for them to move enough of the upgraded units to where they feel comfortable making that change. So yeah, down the line, I have to imagine that they lighten up on those restrictions. But that's only if the system continues to sell. If they continue to sell upgraded units at the same rate that they're selling, you know, the existing ones, and or if they get a boost and, you know, all, in sales, like all that sort of stuff. If this goes well for them, then yes, absolutely. You could see a future where they do relax those restrictions and start to move further in that direction of making games that run on Neo different or exclusive or better or whatever. But for now, and I'm sure for the foreseeable future, you look at this stuff and go like, well, okay, like there will be parity. You will theoretically get some performance benefit from the new hardware, but at some point, like, that's a bad sell as an upgrade, then, you know, like, they're building something that's better and then not letting people take full advantage of it. It's kind of weird at both ends. So, yeah, I don't know, it seems like that this is, well, maybe they don't have the right stuff to show yet. You know, maybe that'll take until E3 to go like, all right, here's, and I bet Uncharted will be the game, or Drive Club. They drag Drive Club out for everything. Like, hey, it runs in VR now. I don't know. But I would picture Uncharted as being the thing where they're like, okay, this game came out last month, and here's what it looked like. Looks great. Now here it is, running on this, you know, or like, Uncharted seems like it would be the graphical powerhouse game that they would do that for. Maybe No Man's Sky? Well, no, because that game's out well before the window for this stuff, and they're probably frantically trying to get it together to ship the game at all, so maybe that wouldn't make sense. Uncharted 4 has the most graphics. Yeah, that's something, that's the Uncharted franchise, right? Most graphics. If they were really awesome, it would be Fallout. They would just be like, hey, look at how Fallout 4 runs on this thing. Wait, actually, like, runs. Just Cause 3, yeah, that'd probably be another good one. But they probably want something that is, like, a little more recent than those things. I don't know how you do that. There are a lot of different ways you could go with how you roll that information out to people and what you use to announce it and how you position it, and it seems like they've figured out the positioning in terms of, like, what they'll allow developers to do, but I wonder, like, what their actual strategy for talking to human beings about this thing will end up being. With the CPU, you still looking like a bottleneck. Well, so I don't know. I get the impression that, like, to do much more than what they're doing would take a more dramatic re-architecturing of the platform that may result in them breaking some more compatibility with existing software, right? You know, so this seems like that they're doing the die shrink thing. They're doing the, hey, let's make a more efficient version of our console, but instead of saying, hey, let's just use that to make it cheaper and then redesign the innards so we can make them more efficiently, they're saying, well, because we're making them more efficiently, we threw some more power in there. We, you know, reinvested that back into other parts of the console to make it a better console, which is a weird move, because normally, yeah, it's just like, hey, we made the Xbox 360 all over again, but now the motherboard's different. It doesn't red ring anymore. That's fucking cool. And we get to make it for $80 cheaper, so we're making more money on it. Isn't that awesome? We're making so much more money on this one. It's great. Or, hey, we can cut the price and still make more money on it. Isn't that fucking great? Everybody fucking wins. But instead, they're like, hey, what if we just went through that part of the process and then put it back out for $400, or, you know, or assuming that's the price, I guess, I don't know, like, that seems to be what people have been indicating, but I, you know, that's the sort of stuff that can change last minute, like, you know, the specs, those are out there, like, that's that, but, you know, developers have to have a target to hit, and they have the target, and now it's up to them to hit it, but in terms of, you know, other parts of that package and how they sell it and what bundles do they offer? Because you have to assume that if this thing rolls out in October, which seems like the earliest it could roll out, that they would offer it as part of a, hey, this has the VR headset and this upgraded PlayStation and all the stuff in one box. That they would at least have that as an option. I would assume, but I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. It's fucking crazy. It's weird all over, right? I mean, just because the existence of it is confirmed and the specs are known, you know, that doesn't feel like the whole story. Until they kind of show a few things, like, running. You know, you can look at the numbers, look at the jump in power, and kind of start to work out in your head, theoretically, what that probably means for games and all that stuff, but yeah, I don't know. Until they need to show it. They gotta show it. You wonder what Nintendo's thinking right now. I mean, this doesn't change anything with them, really. It's Nintendo does what it does. It's acted largely outside of the traditional video game industry for a while now in terms of the consoles it manufactures, the attention it pays to third parties. Like, it's... Nintendo is in its own alternate universe version of the video game industry. That's not necessarily a good or a bad thing. I think it's both, depending on which part of their business you're talking about. Nintendo's just going to be off doing what Nintendo does. Presenting Nintendo-like solutions to Nintendo-like problems. I think they'll have a lot of explaining to do come E3 as well. As they start to sell their new thing. To the public and try to make that make sense. That will be interesting to see, for sure. So in a way, that kind of just leaves Microsoft, you know, as Sony's roadmap kind of becomes more clear and, you know, Nintendo is kind of just heading off its own direction. VR is out there and that will kind of go the way it's going to go with or without the console manufacturers. And then you've got Microsoft, which... got that statement from Phil Spencer about kind of the future of the platform and what that means and all that stuff that he then kind of backed away from as people started to interpret that in a way that he maybe didn't intend. But I don't know how you could interpret it any other way and other than to say upgradable or you know, a similar type of upgrade, a similar type of new Xbox One hardware. You know, I've talked to people about the PS4 upgrade stuff for a little bit now, here and there. And, you know, none of them, I've yet to talk to anyone, and that's not to say it's not happening or whatever, just the people that I remembered to ask about it didn't really know anything about upgraded Xbox One hardware. So I don't know what that means. It might mean that the people I talked to were not disclosed on a thing, or maybe the thing has not been disclosed outside of Microsoft. You know, a zillion different ways that could go. So I don't really know what to make of that. But, you know, you see Microsoft leaning into the PC with, like, I mean, let's be real here, like, somewhat disastrous results. I mean, Quantum Break, the PC version of Quantum Break is not what people who like PC games want out of options and that sort of stuff. And they're working on a lot of those aspects to, you know, give people the video, the visual options they want. There are some things about the way that game was manufactured and built that are kind of specific to the console that they can't necessarily un-engineer for their PC port. So it seems like the rendering resolution and all that sort of stuff, whatever it is, the way their temporal rendering, I forget what they call it, but like their stuff about that that people seem to not be fucking stoked about. And so the Microsoft PC initiative comes off, yeah, as kind of half-assed all over again, where it's like, oh, I don't know, we got Gears of War. You know, Killer Instinct launched with some issues that they seem to have ironed out. But for a case where they need to kind of sell people on why you would want to use the Windows Store at all, they're not doing themselves a solid on that front. They're not making the inroads against Steam as a gaming store that they probably should be. YouTube response to Quantum Break has been weird. I don't know. Like, sure, whatever. Like, they just don't really care about it. I mean, I don't know. Like, the game kind of came and went from the looks of it. And that, which seems appropriate in my view. I don't think that game is particularly great. So, there you go. Most blasé response to a game ever. Yeah, I mean, I guess from a community that is built upon freaking out in an over-the-top way about everything, a blasé response to a game is probably pretty damning. But, I don't know. I don't know. Like, the Microsoft approach, like, what the way they end up going with all this seems increasingly interesting. Like, I really want to know what they're up to. You know, if nothing else, like, looking at everything that's happening around them, around the business, and looking at the directions they seem to be leaning into at least a little bit, you know, like, even if they're not getting the PC stuff right, like, that's still seems to be the move they're making. And they've unified architect, you know, like they've got Windows 10 running on the Xbox One, and you know, they've got some shared DNA across the board, and blah, 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 all that shit. Seeing how that actually translates into games and what that means for games for them down the line. I'm really curious about that. Say a lot of people said that when the new CEO came into Microsoft, it kind of was one of those things that people looked at and were like, well, that might be it for Xbox, because he's not, that guy doesn't seem to be into that end of the business, not necessarily like games per se, but just like hardware, or thinking about things more of as a service and all that sort of stuff that yeah, like, do they try to sell that unit off, or what, you know, what happens? Like, how committed is Microsoft as a company to video games? And I think it'd be tragic if Microsoft got out of it, because I think they've done, I mean, the Xbox 360 was fucking fantastic. Like, they, you know, they build a great console, they build a good service around it, you know, they got developer support, they got everything, they lined up everything they needed to line up, and then took their eye off the ball, and then fucked up this generation almost as bad as you could possibly fuck it up, in terms of their focus, and their messaging, and all that stuff. And they've corrected a lot of it since, obviously, but, you know, that was enough of that was enough of a weird time for them to kind of end up handing the reins off to Sony. It's like there are things that Sony has done right, but those are probably not as big of a move, like, as big of a factor in things as the things that Microsoft did wrong. When you look at the current state of the console market and the sales between the consoles and stuff. Exactly. They got complacent. The thing the cast said never to do. But yeah, you know, if they start shipping everything on, you know, if all the first party stuff ends up coming to PC, I think that's a great thing, as long as they iron out their PC process to get those games where they need to be. And this stuff where, you know, like, that's something that if you're building from the ground up, knowing that you're coming to PC, you're probably going to do things a little differently than maybe something like Quantum Break did. With the way it renders, with all that stuff that becomes difficult to take out. But also, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, does that really matter? You know, it's like, look, Quantum Break's got a long list of things that I think are wrong with it. So, the idea that, like, the way it's rendered on the PC is, like, somehow, that's less than ideal, but that's certainly not the top item on the list. But yeah, you have to wonder if they'll walk out on stage and be like, hey, Xbox is a brand. The Xbox, here are direct examples of us unfucking it, because we know that you don't believe us, because we've been beating the fucking PC drum off and on for the past year or two or five, and have never gotten it right. If they can step out and say, like, we are getting it right, then that seems like a good move for them. I mean, you want to talk about upgraded consoles? Fucking play your games on the PC. Done. Fucking done! Like, the idea that, like, an upgraded PS4, like, that's an interesting thing, but some upgraded PS4 is still not going to be powerful like a PC is. But yeah, I don't know. Like, there's room. I don't know. You hear little bits and pieces here and there about. It's like, maybe they can't throw it around the way it could at the beginning of the generation, through the 360 and stuff like that. But, you know, they'll have interesting problems that they need to solve if they truly lean into the PC for gaming. Says that at some, you're in competition with Steam at the same time you're in competition with Sony, but in totally different ways. So, at what point do you say, all right, we realize we can no longer lock multiplayer behind a paywall? So, you know, does it make sense for them to pivot the Xbox Live into being more about the games with gold stuff? And hang it on that? Instead of multiplayer? The free game, the subscription game service aspect of Games with Gold has been pretty neat. Instead of the backwards compatibility and stuff like that, kind of cool. I don't know if that's enough of a motivator to get people to stay signed up for Gold Zone. It's a weird time. It's a very weird time. to be like midway through this generation and then suddenly be rethinking a lot of things about the way the console business works. I can't say I saw that coming. You know, the question was, do people still want to get a console anymore? Is that still even something that people want? Or have we diverged so much that people just will get a PC or people will play games on their phone? And then they started selling these consoles, and yes, it turned out people continued to want consoles. Even as they were doing well, you still heard that undercurrent from people going like, yeah, they do. They do still want consoles. We're just not sure if they'll want another one after this one. Or, you know, hey, and when these consoles launched and you were like, alright, the performance is not there the way we normally feel like it is at the launch of a console. So, what does that mean? You know, we got that letter to the podcast a couple weeks ago from someone who was a teacher and said that they think that, you know, that's in their class, generally speaking, think that paying $60 for a game is fucking insane and that games should be free. And they play them on their phones and that's it. Okay. That's that stuff manifesting. That's that stuff that eventually leads down the road of, like, maybe people don't need a console. And people will still want console-like games. But those can exist those can exist on the PC. They do exist on the PC now. They exist pretty damn well. Maybe someday Apple will put out a video game controller. Instead of just incessantly testing them over and over again for years and years and years. To the point where you talk to people that are like, oh yeah, no, we have one of the Apple controllers. Yeah, no, we totally... They came and showed it off and left one with us, and they're like, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, and then nothing. Silence. And that's the thing, you know, it's like we're at such a weird, like we're nearing a really big inflection point, or we've hit it, or you know, like we're in the middle of this time when a lot of things are going to start to change very rapidly again in terms of, you know, what virtual reality does for screen tech and how all of that kind of starts to factor into how people use computers, or if people use computers, or reading that Wired article about Magic Leap, they talk about, like, it's them, and there's another company that's prototyping something similar, and both of them are like, oh yeah, within a year, we're not going to have screens in our office, because we'll all be using the devices, we'll all be using virtual screens. And once that starts to happen, you know, then granted, they're the company making these things. They're going to be the ones that get into that ahead of everybody else. But when the screen technology does get good enough to where, like, that thought of I'm going to watch TV inside my headset, inside my goggles, like, once that becomes an experience that is as good as looking at a real TV, you know, then what does that mean for screens? What if we're suddenly moving away from traditional 16:9 screens, what does that mean for the PC? What does that mean for a video game console? Like, how does all of that stuff, what does that mean for social experiences around watching television? What does that mean for the bee that landed on my windshield and is freaking me the fuck out? Because it landed right in my eye line and I had to look at it for a second, figure out, is that bee on the inside of the car? Because that'd be bad. So, you know, like, this stuff will all naturally have to change in one way or another. You know, and what, at what point does the technology for the goggles become cheap enough that you can then, you know, then it's no longer a factor of like, oh, we're worried about these social experiences, like watching television or watching a movie together. How will you do that? If the answer is as simple as like, well, we both have our own glasses and we both put them on and watched the movie, then fine, that's acceptable. And that's not something to, like, be afraid of, or, you know, it's like, so many people have been afraid of, like, the, like, gaming changing in a dramatic way, but they've been coming at it from this weird, like, aggressive angle of, like, oh, man, games are becoming more like Gone Home, where are my games going? Like, that's dumb. That's not where the games are going. Technology will advance to a point where traditional gaming comes to mean something else. And generationally, as the kids continue to grow up, with phones being the main way they interact with games and screens and technology and all that other stuff, that's the stuff that eventually leads to a situation where, like, a video game console, the way we think about it now, might not make the most sense. Like, all that shit, all that potential future sounds really exciting. It's just hard to parcel out what it means for, you know, the traditional gaming business as we know it. You know, developers that have been making video games for decades, what happens to them? Do they evolve to a point where they become largely unrecognizable? Yeah, I don't know. It's... it's going to be a weird, like, I don't know, 5 years? This rate, this year's already weird, but... but watching a lot of these kind of theoreticals start to become realities, it's going to, it'll be some shit, man. It'll, you know, like I said, it seems like we're at a pretty pivotal point for a lot of that stuff, and yeah, I don't know, we'll see how it goes. Of course, in the near term, I'm a man who owns two PlayStation 4s. And now they're old PlayStation 4s. What the fuck? Got that white one, thinking that as I set up a home office and all the other stuff, I would want consoles in multiple rooms, and then it just turned out like, ah, you know, I really only play stuff in the other room now, so... So I put the white one in the bedroom where the old one used to be. And I don't think I've actually turned it on since it's been in there. That's mostly there for like, ah, let's use Plex. Like, I took the Xbox One that was in that room. Well, I took... What did I do? I hooked my hard drive up to the Xbox One that's in the room that I play games in now. And that works all fine. And that's all A-okay. And then I took the other one and moved it out to the living room. And actually hooked the Kinect back up to it. Because we were going to play some Dance Central. And then played that twice. Got frustrated at how the UI works on that game. And it's just kind of been sitting out there. Because I play the one that's in the other room. And then the Wii U is in the bedroom. The Wii U is actually the only console that is hooked up in the bedroom now. Though I don't actually ever use a television with it. I just play Mario Maker on the touchscreen. I hope that the talk about Mario Maker being one of the games that would come to the NX ends up being true. If they don't do backwards compatibility, it would be nice to see. It would be nice to continue playing that game on whatever the next Nintendo device ends up being. It'd be nice if that was an enhanced version of the game, perhaps. That maybe allowed you to make Super Mario Bros. 2 USA levels. Add that angry sun. You know, just like do the stuff. Ugh. Maybe you shouldn't need to buy a new version of the game for that stuff. I made it. I'll see you. Have a good Tuesday, right? Tuesday.